Let's read together Isaiah chapter 14, beginning with verse 24. In this talk on Isaiah, we are going to cover the last half of Isaiah chapter 14, as well as chapters 15 and 16 of Isaiah. In these chapters, we have God's pronouncement of judgment on the foreign nations of Assyria, Philistia, and Moab. Let's begin by reading verses 24 through 27 of Isaiah chapter 14. This is God's pronouncement of judgment on Assyria. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, "Surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass, and as I have purposed, so it shall stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and on my mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" Let's begin our study of this portion of Isaiah chapter 14 with some background notes. In Isaiah chapter 13, we began our studies of a subdivision of Isaiah that runs from the beginning of chapter 13 through the end of chapter 23. In this subdivision of 11 chapters, God's judgment is pronounced on the foreign nations surrounding Judah. In chapter 13 and in the first half of chapter 14, we had God's denunciation of Babylon. Now here in the second half of Isaiah chapter 14, we have God's pronouncement of judgment on Assyria and Philistia. And that brings us to our first doctrinal point. So doctrinal point number one, the Lord pronounced judgment against Assyria. The Lord pronounced judgment against Assyria. In these verses that we just read, we see that God planned Assyria's destruction and nothing could thwart God's plan. Back in Isaiah chapter 10, we saw that God used Assyria as his axe and club and rod of discipline on his people Israel, but now it was Assyria's turn for judgment because of her cruel and ungodly ways. The historical fulfillment of this prophecy is covered in Isaiah chapter 37, when the Assyrian army under Sennacherib was miraculously wiped out on the mountains surrounding Jerusalem by the Lord himself. We believe there is also an eschatological aspect to this prophecy of judgment against Assyria here in Isaiah chapter 14. The end-time king of the north, coming out of the ancient Assyrian region and called the Assyrian in Micah chapter 5, verse 5, will be cut down by the Lord himself when this future king of the north invades Israel. The Lord pronounced judgment against Assyria. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord pronounced judgment against Philistia. The Lord pronounced judgment against Philistia. Verses 28 through 32. This is the burden which came in the year that King Ahaz died. "Do not rejoice, all you of Philistia, because the rod that struck you is broken. For out of the serpent's roots will come forth a viper, and its offspring will be a fiery flying serpent. The firstborn of the poor will feed, and the needy will lie down in safety. I will kill your roots with famine, and it will slay your remnant. Wail, O gate, cry, O city, all of you, Philistia, are dissolved, for smoke will come from the north, and no one will be alone in his appointed times or ranks. What will they answer, the messengers of the nation? That the Lord has founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall take refuge in it." Philistia was located southwest of Judah along the Mediterranean Sea, where Gaza is today. At that time, Philistia was rejoicing because some foreign power that had attacked them, probably Assyria, was now suffering a setback. Isaiah warned the people that the setback was only temporary, and the worst was yet to come. Assyria invaded Philistia in both 712 BC and 701 BC as a viper attacks its prey. Only the very poor and needy survived, verse 30. In verse 32, the Lord warned his people not to make alliances with Philistia, but to trust in him, because Philistia was doomed. And sure enough, in 701 BC, when Sennacherib and the Assyrians invaded the land, God's people were miraculously delivered, as we've read in Isaiah chapter 37, but Philistia was defeated. The Lord pronounced judgment against Philistia. Doctrine point number three, the Lord pronounced judgment against Moab. The Lord pronounced judgment against Moab. Isaiah chapters 15 and 16. Let's read chapter 15. The burden against Moab, because in the night Ar of Moab is laid waste and destroyed, because in the night Ker of Moab is laid waste and destroyed. He has gone up to the temple and Dibon, to the high places to weep. Moab will wail over Nebo and over Medeba. On their heads will be baldness and every beard cut off. In their streets they will clothe themselves with sackcloth. On the tops of their houses and in their streets, everyone will wail, weeping bitterly. Heshbon and Elaalah will cry out. Their voice shall be heard as far as Jahaz. Therefore the armed soldiers of Moab will cry out. His life will be burdensome to him. My heart will cry out for Moab. His fugitives shall flee to Zoar like a three-year-old heifer. For by the ascent of Luhith they will go up with weeping. For in the way of Horonaim they will raise up a cry of destruction. For the waters of Nimrim will be desolate. For the green grass has withered away. The grass fails. There is nothing green. Therefore the abundance they have gained and what they have laid up, they will carry away to the brook of the willows. For the cry has gone all around the borders of Moab. It's wailing to Eglaim, and it's wailing to Beer Elam. For the waters of Dimon will be full of blood, because I will bring more upon Dimon, lions upon him who escapes from Moab and on the remnant of the land. Moab was the foreign nation east of Judah on the other side of the southern half of the Dead Sea. All of these cities that are mentioned here in Isaiah chapter 15 were cities of ancient Moab. Some of their locations are known even today. For example, Medeba in verse 2 still exists today in southern Jordan and is the location of the well-known ancient mosaic map of Palestine dating to the early 6th century AD. The attack and defeat of Moab, referred to here in Isaiah chapters 15 and 16, was the invasion of the Assyrians under either King Sargon or King Sennacherib. The defeat would be so devastating that everyone would weep and wail, verse 3. Men would shave their heads and cut off their beards with intense mourning, verse 2. The roads and towns would be filled with fugitives, verse 5. The water supply would be cut off and the land would become desolate. Verse 6, Moab would be robbed and there would be much bloodshed. Verses 7 and 8, it would be as when a lion relentlessly attacks a helpless victim. Verse 9, this prophecy of judgment against Moab continues in chapter 16. Let's read the first 5 verses of Isaiah chapter 16. Send the lamb to the ruler of the land, from Selah to the wilderness, to the mount of the daughter of Zion. For it shall be as a wandering bird thrown out of the nest. So shall be the daughters of Moab at the fords of the Arnon. Take counsel, execute judgment. Make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day. Hide the outcast. Do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcast dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end. Devastation ceases. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. In mercy, the throne will be established, and one will sit on it in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking justice and hastening righteousness. The Moabite fugitives had escaped south to the mountains of Edom, and from Petra, or Selah, verse 1, they were sending a lamb to Jerusalem as a peace token and requesting shelter and security from the Assyrian destroyer, verse 4. So Judah was exhorted to show mercy to the Moabite refugees and provide a hiding place like the welcome shade of shadow at high noon, verse 3, and not to oppress these poor folks, verse 4. This certainly has the practical application of providing safety and security for refugees today, even though they may be from an enemy land. Verse 5 looks to the future and the coming of the Messiah. When his throne is established on this earth, everyone will find safety and security because he will faithfully judge with justice and righteousness as well as with loving kindness. In verse 6 through the end of the chapter, we have a continuation of God's pronouncement of judgment on Moab. Let's read these verses. Isaiah chapter 16, beginning now at verse 6. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath, but his lies shall not be so. Therefore Moab shall wail for Moab. Everyone shall wail for the foundation of Kir. Haraseth, you shall mourn. Surely they are stricken. For the fields of Heshbon languish, and the vine of Sibmah. The lords of the nations have broken down its choice plants, which have reached to Jazer. They wandered through the wilderness. Her branches are stretched out. They are gone over the sea. Therefore I bewail the vine of Sibmah. With weeping of Jazer, I will drench you with my tears. O Heshbon and Elaalah, for battle cries have fallen over your summer fruits and your harvest. Gladness is taken away, and joy from the plentiful field. In the vineyards there will be no singing, nor will there be shouting. No treaders will tread out wine in the presses. I have made their shouting cease. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Kir Hares. And it shall come to pass, when it is seen that Moab is weary on the high place, that he will come to his sanctuary to pray, but he will not prevail. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning Moab since that time. But now the Lord has spoken, saying, within 3 years, as the years of a hired man, the glory of Moab will be despised with all that great multitude, and the remnant will be very small and feeble. The point of this last verse of the chapter about the hired man is obvious, isn't it? How does a hired man count time? He counts it exactly. He doesn't work a minute longer than what he's paid for. In the same way, God's prophetic timetable is exact and right on schedule. Not only the defeat of Moab within the 3 years predicted here in Isaiah's prophecy, but all the biblical prophecies yet to be fulfilled in the future. They will be fulfilled right on God's precise time schedule. Question: why was God judging Moab and going to let fields wither, verse 8, and remove her raisin cake delicacies, verse 7, and take away her joy of harvest, verses 9 and 10, and bring to futility her religious activity, verse 12? Answer: it was her pride. Verse 6, God hates pride and hypocrisy, then and today. The Lord pronounced judgment against Moab. Now, what about practical application from these chapters in Isaiah? Don't think that God is happy about judgment. Don't think that God is happy about judgment. When we read these prophetic passages about so much judgment, we might wrongly get the idea that God is happy about judgment. God is not happy about judgment. Look at what God says through Isaiah in verse 5 of chapter 15 here. My heart will cry out for Moab. And verse 9 of chapter 16. Therefore I will bewail the vine of Sibmah. With the weeping of Jazer, I will drench you with my tears. And verse 11. Therefore my heart shall resound like a harp for Moab, and my inner being for Kir Hares. So we see that God is not happy about judgment. God must judge sin, but he is not happy about it. Don't think that God is happy about judgment.